Ma, 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 ma.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get into it. I'm ready to...
morning recording session.
Good morning.
Well, right. Clarence, Ian, Merry Hollow Thanksmas, and guess what? Animation is coming back to Animation Courtyard. How novel.
Let's go.
Well, we'll go ahead and let's get into it.
Recorded live from Orlando, Florida and Nashville, Tennessee, you're listening to The Dapper Danielle Show, starring Ian Wilson, Clarence Kelly, and now, here's your host, the one and only, The Dapper Danielle.
Welcome to The Dapper Danielle Show. I am your host, The Dapper Danielle, and I'm joined, as always, by my fabulous co-hosts, Clarence Kelly and Ian Wilson. And we're gearing up for a really great show today because we have a couple of news things, but also some changes that have been announced to the park while also reflecting on our main attraction that is no more, our defunct history that we want to cover. And Clarence and Ian, I know, and y'all, you know, there was so much... happening in the entertainment industry and so many losses right now, it's hard to reflect on this one.
Mm-hmm. You said it.
Oh my goodness. Well, before we get into it, guys, anything you want to note on your initial thoughts of these subject matters?
I'm excited for animation coming back to Animation Courtyard. I feel like I was talking with Clarence before jumping on the call today about how I honestly can't like consciously really remember going into Star Wars Launch Bay. And I know it's like very fascinating, very interesting to see all of the, you know, I like Star Wars a lot, so I feel like it's just fun to like get more immersed into that world. But I also feel like some of those things, it's like you get this similar experience over in Batuu. You know, you either have the character meet and greets, you have the character interactions happening,
and it's more immersive and even better.
Yeah. Exactly. Or you have like in the queue lines of the attractions, you're getting to kind of in some places even like touch some of those like, you know, elements of, oh, this is the Star Wars universe. So it, to me, it's like, yeah, it feels a little bit out of place to have this Star Wars museum collection meet and greet location there anyways. So it makes a lot of sense to transform it. Plus
the carcass that I've been calling it.
Exactly.
You know, it's just slowly there rotting.
Gradual migration of everything Star Wars to Batuu, and eventually Star Tours will make its way over there too, I feel like.
It's very possible. Very
you
possible.
Never know.
That's my initial reaction to the news.
But we do have some, so let's expound on that a little bit more. So again, if you did not see the breaking news that happened here at Walt Disney World in Florida, in Hollywood Studios, animation is coming back to Animation Courtyard. And this is, let me double check. Did they actually announce a date on when Star Wars Launch Bay would be closing? I don't think I actually saw that.
I didn't see the date.
I didn't see an exact date. I just saw 2026.
Yes.
Was okay. When animation, the new Animation Courtyard.
A great, great vague date to just, you know, whatever deadlines we need to push back, we have it. 2026. Just
right.
Exactly. And I don't know if 2026 was when. Oh, wait, here. I just found it in the article. September 25th of 2025. Disney Junior Play and Dance will close. But during that time, guests will still be able to go to Under the Sea with Ariel.
Okay.
And enjoy the exhibits and film presentation at Walt Disney Presents. So,
interesting.
It does look like September 2025 is a soft close.
And for so half of it.
For part of it, yeah. And so they'll probably start updating that area and then kind of move around is what I predict, is they'll gradually close different parts. I imagine that Ariel will probably be open until the very end.
Well, I think Ariel, based on the concept art that we can see, if you that long image right there where they have that beautiful green grass space, like evening setting, they still have Ariel there. They're just going to remove the very 90s coded fish facade that's there.
Yes.
Like, I don't know why these guys stuck around for so long. They should have been removed in the update anyway. But they're officially going to go away. And then they're still going to keep the Little Mermaid signage. That's still there. They've also poured too much money into the show to be able to get rid of it within a year. They can't be doing that.
Exactly. The fish have character, though. The 90s fish have some character.
They do. So. I mean... But, like, it doesn't match in with the clean aesthetic that they're going for the rest of the courtyard. And I, you know, okay, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but if you look at the front of that concept art, the arch is gone.
Yes, I did notice that,
more
actually.
Open, kind of coming into the courtyard.
Very
see, I didn't know if that was just because it was an aerial view of the courtyard. Yeah, no pun intended. And they just wanted to keep that open so you could see more of the walkway in the illustration. Mm. But yeah, if, I mean, it does look like from this, it's just gone.
Yeah, it looks like it's actually been widened a little bit. Those are completely separate planters. I think this is going to be a flow thing because then the green space is causing people to enter in through one direction, exit through another direction.
That makes complete sense.
It does. But I'm also kind of happy that this is, because of this new layout, that green space means there's no more stroller mayhem parking in the very center of this concrete jungle. It will now be a lush landscape. Is that sad that I'm more excited about that than anything else?
Not at all.
No, that's fine.
I get it. I would be... Yeah, the strollers, they get in the way sometimes.
You know? I've had my knees and ankles personally attacked one too many times. I think I'm good.
I understand that we need them, but you know, like, let's park them somewhere else.
Right. And something I think, at least in the social media world, I've been seeing on the TikTok, Instagram, is everybody's so hyper focused on the return of the Sorcerer's Hat to Hollywood Studios, because everybody misses the iconic early 2000s Mickey hat that stuck around for longer than I was supposed to, and everybody became too emotionally and sentimentally attached to it, which, don't get me wrong, I loved it too. But I'm like, guys, no, that's not the point. Like, yeah, get excited that the Sorcerer's Hat's coming, but it's literally the facade of the animation building in Burbank.
Yeah.
And I think people are missing the point.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, when I saw it, the first thing I was like, oh, it's the Burbank studio facade. Like, it has animation written across the front of the hat, just like the one in Burbank.
Mm-hmm.
I think people who have never seen the Burbank studio probably, I mean, I get it. They have no other frame of reference for the Sorcerer's Hat there except for the big one. So...
Almost like Hollywood Studios is based in California for the theming of the park.
Oh, how novel!
It's a replica of an actual building in California. I would say, you know, I feel like in my Disney experience, I sort of had like my childhood experience, and then I have my like now more adult experience. But then there's kind of this like nebulous, really undefined, like pre-teen experience of Disney that it's just kind of very jumbled for me. We didn't go as much during that time because we had just moved to Alaska, so it was like, you know, not as sharp. And I feel like in my mind during that time of my life, I had it as like, okay, Animal Kingdom, the big tree; Magic Kingdom, the castle; Epcot, the ball; Hollywood Studios or MGM, the hat. You know, it's like you have kind of in your head this like iconic visual of the giant Sorcerer's Hat. And so I can see the excitement for it. It's definitely like, and that was like a really cool time for Disney too, because that was like they were just killing it in the theme park world, and the experiences and the celebrations kind of happening around when the Sorcerer's Hat first showed up over in MGM. So it's like, you know, it's a cool moment, I think, for people to reflect back on, so that's probably why they're excited. But yeah, I do think we can't miss the fact that it's the animation studios. And like the short, that it's kind of, you know, being brought to life in this area as well too. It's like we're celebrating the animation of Disney, we're celebrating the magic that comes with that, which I think is very appropriate too for where it's placed in Hollywood Studios. You know, it's gonna be connected to all these other great, you know, places where we've celebrated in the past, yes, this is the history of Disney's animation. This is why Disney's animation is so special.
Well, and Ian, are you familiar and or aware that where Star Wars Launch Bay is currently was also the animation studio, and where Oh, you did not know that. Okay. Well, really? So yes. So it was the working studio, portions of Aladdin, I think scenes from Beauty and the Beast, most of Lilo and Stitch, Brother Bear, and a good portion of Mulan were actually filmed here in that location.
Don't forget the Emperor's New Groove.
Oh, yeah. Emperor's New Groove, too. Yes. and some of the Roger Rabbit shorts. That's why they had a really big push for Roger Rabbit at Hollywood Studios there for a while. And... I love Tom Bancroft. This was over a year ago now. He visited Walt Disney World and he stepped into the meet and greet area because Star Wars Launch Bay, there's like a step down. That's because the original part, there was a walkway where you would look into where the animators were actually working. It was like a glassed off thing. They had a sign right there that said, "Don't tap the glass, it makes the artist nervous." Not really, but like, that's what I picture. And you could see them actually working on these animation pieces. And Tom Bancroft, he was stepped down in there, and it was like across from the line for Chewbacca. And before you go into Darth Vader's queue area, he's like, "My desk was here. This is where I worked." And I'm like, "Oh, that's so cool."
Yeah.
It's very cool. I remember, do you remember, Danielle, Derek yeah. McKenzie, the sound guy I worked with in Orlando with the long ponytail?
Yes.
So he was an animator at Disney Studios in Florida, and I remember him telling me about the films that he worked on, because he wasn't a character animator on Mulan, but I know he said he was a animator for, like, things moving in the background, like if you saw a flag waving,
the motion pieces.
Yeah, like he was doing that stuff. And I remember him telling me about, like, when the studio closed down and how heartbreaking that was, and for, like, animation to leave Orlando and only be in California and overseas. So it's very exciting to see animation return to Orlando and to Hollywood Studios, so I'm very excited. It feels like that's what the buildings were made for, was animation.
Right.
It's nice that they're going back to that. It's a true return to form, in my opinion. The next step is to actually start animating from there again.
Yeah, that's gonna be I'm not even gonna touch on that, because I do know there's some animator friends that follow me, and I'm just gonna nod slowly and look into the camera and I say, "I know. And I understand." And we're just going to leave it at that. anyway, but some other things that I want to talk about. And so a little nod to back up a little bit and kind of pre-looking into what we're going to talk about here in just a little bit. Muppets Courtyard, and how everybody was so angry that they didn't leave Muppets Courtyard and that they moved it over to Animation Courtyard. Like, why didn't they just take Monsters, Inc. and put it over there? Honestly, with this kind of news and update, if they do it correctly, I won't be angry about it.
True.
Would you agree?
True. Yeah, I fully agree. And we can get more into that when we get to the main attraction. Hint, hint, wink, wink about what we're talking about. Because I don't think we've said yet what we're talking about.
Oh.
Surprise. Yeah, but yes, I fully agree that if this is done well, then I won't be super sad about that. I mean, I'll still be sad, but
oh, yeah.
I'll get into my thoughts a bit later.
Okay. You know. Something else that's currently happening here at the Walt Disney World, Disneyland, actually any theme park here in the U.S., is that we are already thinking about the spooky season and the holly jolly season. And here recently, I actually posted like a Christmas in July post. And it's so funny to go ahead and like put that out there. And then those little comments come in, those trickles come in saying like, "No, it's too early to think about Halloween. It's too early to think about Christmas." And I'm from being in like the theme park world, I'm like, no, we're late. We're behind. We're supposed to be starting this. Like, we already started planting the pumpkins in spring. They've already sprouted. We're carving them now in the middle of July and August. So I don't know. I'm like, being, you guys have lived in Orlando before. You've been around the theme park world, and now you guys live in Tennessee. What are your thoughts on this? Do you still see any of this, or are you like, no, Danielle, this is something specific just to you?
Ian, what do you think? I'm interested to hear your thoughts.
I feel like, to me, it's like, it really reminds me of like the whole like pumpkin spice, like Starbucks debate. Like, I feel like that is like the debate of the century for everyone on social media always, is like, how soon is too soon for pumpkin spice lattes? And I feel like until you go to Disney World, you just don't realize like how small a scale Starbucks is doing their seasonal menu on. It's like, Starbucks is like, hello, we have 5 seasonal drinks. Disney is like, you come in one day later from when the Halloween holiday season starts, we put up the banners, we have the floats, and we have the characters, we have themed menus, food carts, special extra magic hours. Of like, it is just like on a whole nother level. So I don't know. I mean, to me, I feel like everyone is getting a little more used to, I think, to coming from the supply chain world, which I worked in a little bit there, I feel like the pandemic, the just kind of general shifting around of cargo really made people much more familiar with the idea that, yeah, you might just have this random shipment of holiday stuff show up off season. Stores are going to put it out and try to sell it. So I feel like that kind of shifted everyone's mindset from this like super regimented, no, like, you know, Halloween stuff comes on this date, Christmas stuff comes on this date, to being more okay with the blending of holidays and just kind of accepting that that is sort of part of corporate capitalism, retail market. Like, that's just what happens. And so now I think companies are kind of, you know, taking that to another level, saying, let's just, you know, in this, what's it called? You know, like spooky summer or whatever. Now it's like
Halloween. Oh, Summerween.
Summerween. Yeah, Summerween. Oh, you know, it's like so interesting. It's like I'm in TJ Maxx the other day and I see Summerween, you know, stuff on the shelf. So I think it's definitely becoming more mainstream now to kind of have holidays, happen around, you know, throughout the year. So I don't think it's just a Disney only thing, but Disney theme parks in general are on a whole nother level, I think, when it comes to like just the, it's summer, it's Halloween.
You know, right, it's just like literally
complete 180 from one day to another. So it's kind of wild to be there for that.
It's I don't know. I think we've been so used to it, like, okay, July 5th, bam, pumpkins everywhere. So like, we've been used to that culture. And then to when I was in Tennessee and I started filming the Summerween stuff, that was in June, and that video went viral. It got like 3 million views over on Instagram, another 2 million over on TikTok. And people are like, what is this? I never heard of this. I'm like, I've known about this for a while. Like, how did you? And I realized it's because that video went to everybody. It didn't just stay within my theme park bubble. And I don't know. Clarence, what are your thoughts on all of this? You come from the music world. You're used to already being done and filming the Christmas stuff by July.
That's true, but it doesn't release until December.
True. We carve the pumpkin in July, but we don't put it out still.
We're recording. Most for people who don't know how the music industry works, most Christmas music is recorded in the middle of summer before it goes out. But it doesn't come out until Christmas time. So maybe it'll come out in November. My thought is, just because we are used to Disney shifting over to Halloween on July 5th doesn't mean I'm okay with Disney shifting to Halloween on July 5th. It's kind of a blessing being up here in Tennessee where, like, things become Halloween around Halloween, like
like not until the end of September.
Like, here in my house, my fall decor is not going up until September, and then the ghosts and goblins and witches aren't coming out until maybe the end of September, maybe the start of October. So I think Charlie Brown really like encapsulates some of my thoughts about consumerism taking over the magic of the holidays. And so I really relate to him on that front. I mean, like, go, if you guys are curious what I'm talking about, go watch the Thanksgiving special this Thanksgiving, or the Christmas, the original Christmas special from Charlie Brown. Both of them, I feel like, kind of really get my thoughts. Like, really, I really relate to that. And those came out in the 60s and 70s. Like,
right.
They were already thinking that, like,
back then.
Yeah. I remember, like, there's a line in the Thanksgiving special where they're talking about, like Lucy is talking with Charlie Brown and someone else, and they're like, I went to the store to try to get a turkey treat, but all they had was Christmas stuff. And Lucy's like, I haven't even finished my Halloween candy yet. Like, so I feel that. I like, because even with Christmas time, I will tell you, I don't listen to Christmas music until after Thanksgiving. Maybe it'll, a few will get in there. Maybe I'll have some Vince Guaraldi playing, but yeah, for the most part, I wait until after Thanksgiving before any Christmas decor goes up, any Christmas music comes out. So, yeah, that's just my thoughts on it. I don't love that everything starts so early, but I get that for, you know, the consumerist hellscape we live in, like, well, it's just kind of
surprisingly enough
for the course, you know.
Right. Walt Disney World really started this trend getting earlier and earlier here in Walt Disney World, and then Disneyland only as of like the past couple years has started there so early. Theirs originally was only from like the middle of September through the end of October, and that was it. So that now they're starting earlier. The reason why we did so early was because of our European tourist and the folks coming over from the UK. Their peak time of traveling is in the month of August and September. So we have more of those guests coming over, and they want to experience an American Halloween because it is totally different. We do stuff totally different compared to everybody else in the world when it comes to spooky season, and they want to experience it. So that's why we start so early, or started so early originally. Now it's because they're like, no, people will pay for it and they'll keep coming year after year. Let's go ahead and capitalize on it 100%.
So something I find very interesting about that, and something we talked about in the last episode, why Country Bears doesn't get any overlays,
right,
is because we are like the premier park for international tourists, and it needs to be consistent. And it's like, if that, like, why are we pushing that agenda of like, we need to stay, keep things consistent, we can't do overlays, but the tourists want to experience a Halloween in America, so we're gonna do all of this Halloween stuff really early. That's, and so it's like, like, our both can't be true.
Like, well, that's why it's only okay, but it can be. And think about this. So when you go to Magic Kingdom here at Walt Disney World, and you go to Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, it is not spookified all over the place. It's not like Halloween Horror Nights, where the Halloween Horror Nights set stages and the scare zones take up the entire park during the day, right?
Well, so the decor is all over.
I mean, no. It's, what Halloween decor other than Main Street?
All down Main Street, there's Halloween decor in, but that's it. Frontierland. There's
not, yeah, well, not in our Frontierland. Over in Disneyland, there is. Not in ours. Right?
I think you're mistaken.
No, I am positive. Honest, I think all of mistaken. All of the Halloween decor that we get is mostly all lighting and effects. Like, our lighting team is the one that's making and creating the spooky atmosphere for us. And like, some adding in some mist, adding in some fog, but there's not, pumpkins don't appear all over the place. Maybe one or two in like a window display, but that's kind of it.
Okay.
So it can easily be turned on and off just for an extra ticketed event.
That's true. Yeah.
I don't know. Well, so with all this to say, if you are interested in any of the spooky offerings or the Holly Jolly offerings, they are available to look at, and you can preview your menu for some of the parties. You can look at the merchandise that is all available over on the Disney Parks blog website, for the official Disney website. You can see all that listed. And there's already Halloween parties here at Walt Disney World. Most of Oogie Boogie is already sold out, and Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Night is already sold out, as well as the second and third night in August already sold out.
Wow. Okay, so of the three, I'm going to do a quick game with y'all.
Oh, yes.
Of the three Halloween menu highlights, and I'll read them off to you.
Okay.
I want to play Eat for Yourself, Share, or Toss.
Oh.
So we've got the Madame Leota Seance Candle. It's a red velvet cake and cookies and cream mousse.
Oh.
We have the Mickey-shaped cheesecake. It's a pumpkin cheesecake with graham cracker crust and white chocolate whipped ganache. And then we have the beef short rib with purple potatoes, which is braised with red wine, figs, peppers, and a touch of dark chocolate.
Now, are these from this year, or is that from last year?
That's this year on Disney World's website. These are the three highlights that they've picked.
Okay.
So of these three highlights, which one are you hogging for yourself? Which one are you willing to share? And which one is just being tossed out?
Okay. Yeah, I will let you guys pick first. Okay. And then I have actually tried two of these treats out of the three, because most of these are repeats from last year.
Cheesecake is for me, red velvet to share, and we can get rid of the short ribs, because I feel like I like cheesecake. I would probably enjoy that one the most. Red velvet cake, I'm like, yeah, I don't mind cake, but I know it's not my favorite, so I wouldn't mind the help kind of like finishing that one off. And I feel like there's a number of things at Disney where they have a lot of cool like features, or like, you know, the menu item is like described as being very tasteful and sounding really good. But let's be honest, we're at Disney World. Like, you may not get all those notes coming through. It may not really end up having all that. So I feel like it's a little, it's like, yeah, I don't know. If one of you end up sharing that one with me, I'd be happy to try it. But I'd be fine just tossing that one and going with more of the established, you know, the sweet things.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What about you, Clarence?
The candle cake, the red velvet cake and cookies and cream, that's for me. And then I'm willing to share the short rib. That sounds pretty good to me. The figs and peppers and the touch of dark chocolate. I'm intrigued by that, if that flavor note will come through. So I'm willing to share that, and then I'll probably toss the cheesecake. The graham cracker crust is not doing it for me.
Really? I love me a graham cracker crust. Mm-hmm. Okay, so for me personally, I would probably actually keep the short rib, because when I'm at a Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party, I will try to go ahead and get my food and my protein in me towards the beginning of the party, as soon as it starts, so I can focus on sweet treats, candy, and characters. So I'm hogging that one to myself. I'm letting y'all fend for yourself. You crash out because you don't have enough protein in you, I'm leaving you behind. Okay. And then, but we can share the candle red velvet. Now, everybody's opinion on red velvet is so particular and so different. So this is something I'd be like, okay, let's all share this together. I want your opinion. Do you like this? Do you not like this? And doesn't it have like a black frosting kind of fondant on it also?
I think so. It's the cookies and cream. It's like, it's not black. It's kind of the greenish dripping goo.
So it's looking. Still going to turn my mouth black or blue.
Probably.
Okay.
But it looks cool. It's pretty from in the picture.
Okay. And then now I have had the graham cracker cheesecake. I loved the graham cracker piece of it. I did not love the texture of the cheesecake. It was almost too jello-y for me last time I had it. So unless they fix that, I'm tossing it.
Hmm. Okay.
Wow, very different.
I know.
All of us had different.
Such good opinions.
All
the
right.
The thing is, we're going to be ordering all three of the menu items.
It's true. It's true.
It's the great thing about going to Disney with your family is you end up trying everything anyways.
Literally, exactly. Yes. Oh, this is nasty. Here, have a bite of this. Yeah, exactly. That's usually what we do. Well, now, guys, I was thinking about how Food and Wine Festival is going to be starting here at Walt Disney World August 28th. And I've run into some amazing cast members and I've heard some of their stories. And I'm like, ah, yes, nostalgia. Calling Reedy Creek and Orange County on so many magical occasions. And I was wondering if you guys would be interested in hearing what I'm calling cast member memoirs. Would you guys be interested in something
I'm
like
very
that?
Interested. Same. I'm very interested in this.
Okay, so my idea is that I want cast members, current or previous, to write in anonymously to us saying either some type of situationship that either they witnessed or maybe they helped solve. And now also with the negative side, I also possibly want to hear a magical moment, something that you're like, oh my goodness, this was the most magical Disney magic thing that I have ever been a part of, and to witness it, just tears, immediate tears. I want to hear all the stories, whether they be good or bad. My only thing I ask for is that you keep it anonymous. Don't give too much information about the guest. Don't give too many exact dates or details, so that way somebody could potentially Google this and find the Orange County report. keep it vague, but give us enough of the details to keep the story interesting. And we would love to hear from you. And then at some point during the show, we would read off ones that we deem are appropriate, or maybe we are like, okay, no, actually this fits in great with our theme. We would love to hear from you. So we do have our email, and it's going to be thedapperdanielle@gmail.com. And I have a special little folder just for all your cast member memoir stories. And don't worry, we won't be saying your name or anything like that while we read the story. So only you would know if this is you, unless you blab it to somebody else. Then you're going to be like, oh, this is me. That's on you. I'm not being held responsible.
If you're saying that was my story, then you outed yourself.
Exactly. But we would love to hear from you. And I think this would be really, because I want to highlight some of the cast member stories of like what not to do at the park, right? Or maybe not even what not to do, but how to not ruin your own vacation, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's been... Okay, so I was talking to Dapper Mom, right? So Dapper Mom used to be a friendship boat captain once upon a time. And so she rode those friendship boats from up and down Epcot to Hollywood Studios and back and all through the middle of Epcot. And she was talking to her cast. Like, she's still very much connected with them. She talks to them on social media all the time. And now she's only been gone for maybe, what, 2 years now?
Yeah, just roughly, about that. Two or three at this point.
And she has been told that they've had over 10 incidences in the past 3 years of people jumping into the water over there in Crescent Lake and
Atlanta
World Showcase, more so in the past 3 years than we have seen any other time. Like,
so gross. I mean,
so
I,
gross.
Not even that, like, I mean, okay, so you're in the middle of a theme park. Obviously, there's going to be trash. There's just going to be, you know, it's a lake. But take all that aside, lakes in Florida alone are just kind of nasty. I mean, you got weird weed stuff growing in it. I mean, I just cannot even imagine the feeling of
that water.
Decades of algae, motor oil, firework ash, you know, all this just on you as you get out of the water.
Probably need a tetanus shot when you get out.
Well, so that is actually something, is that if you're a cast member and you jump into that water either to save someone or something else like that, if you are not up on your shots, then you are sent over to the cast services or the medical center over there that's actually right behind Epcot, and they make you get a tetanus shot. That's like an emergency insane. Thing.
I was saying that as a joke. I didn't know it was real.
It is real, especially for that water. Because think about it. All of that water connects into World Showcase, where those giant floating pontoons with all of that, with all the gas, all the fire, electrical, hydraulic fuel to be able to make those things lift up is just seeping into the water.
Oh my gosh.
Right? And on top of all of that, there is... I don't think people realize this, is that the fireworks systems, is that there is a plastic cover that goes over top of each of the firework pieces before they launch in case it rains. And then when they launch finally during the show, then those pieces of plastic come flying off at the same moment. And they literally have a team that goes around in the morning and literally just scoops up all of the plastic debris. And they have the cleanup crew that goes around afterwards. So interesting. So yeah, I'm not jumping into that. So I want to hear from you again, the cast member memoirs of why people should not do that. Yeah. How not to ruin your vacation. Don't go get a tetanus shot. And again, Disney's not going to make you, but they're going to highly suggest it. And
it will be a very expensive, very not worth it bath to take.
Oh my goodness, no.
Jumping in the lake. So.
Yeah, I mean, those little tiny shampoo bottles only do so much when you go back to the hotel room. Like, you gotta get that, the dial stuff, get the big tub and just pour it all over your body.
It's true. Dang. Yeah, I'd love to hear.
Yeah, I want to hear more now.
So again, submit it over into the email and we would be happy to share them over here on the show. But I think it's now time for the main attraction.
The main attraction. Let's go.
Which is Muppet.
Which is Muppet Courtyard, yes.
The former.
I am shocked, Clarence, how excited you are about this.
I love Muppet Courtyard. I am mad that it's closed.
Clarence, if I had known this, I would have flown you down to be here for the last week.
It's okay.
Okay, so you're excited about it, but not that excited about it.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I feel like Clarence's love for Muppet Courtyard, it's like he is excited for his memories in Muppet Courtyard and his experiences with Muppets. But having everybody else share their memories, their experiences, their feelings, Clarence's like, I don't care. I don't really care about you. Muppet Courtyard is about me and the Muppets. That's why I like Muppet Courtyard.
My love of the Muppets.
Oh, my goodness. Now, for those that do not know, Muppet Courtyard has officially closed. And you would only not know if you were living under a rock. But it opened in MGM at the time in 1991. So about 2 years after the park officially opened. And then it just closed as of June of 2025. And it is making way for a Monsters, Inc. themed land. So we're going to have Monstropolis rolling in. We are very excited for this. According to the concept art, it looks like they're going to keep a lot of the same facades and building structures. They're just going to be gutted for the most part. And then we're adding in the really big coaster in the back where Mama Melrose, that kind of side is over there. So that's going to start funneling in back there. I will be completely honest with you. I was there for the very last night of Muppets closing. I have been into Hollywood Studios, but I have not been to the wall. So there is a giant wall up right in the front of Muppets Courtyard. You can't see into it, all this other stuff. And I have not actually gone to look at it yet because I don't know. I realized this about myself. I was self-reflecting as we're lifetime recording this. I don't know if I'm ready to accept that it's actually gone.
I don't know.
I think in a weird way though, it's I was thinking about how it's basically the Monsters area better be pretty cool and it better produce a lot of laughs, because right now we're kind of at like the start of the original Monsters Inc. movie where the monster world is being powered by screams and terror. The screams and terror that they closed Muppet Courtyard. And so all I'm saying is that when the Monsters Land opens, there better be some laughs to get transitioning from the scream power or scare power to laugh power. You know what I mean? Like, that's all I'm saying is we need to make that transition, because right now we're running on scare power. It's not going to be good. So I need something to make me laugh about this whole situation.
This actually brings up a very good question of it is not 100% clear of where in the Monsters universe this is taking place in the timeline. Is this taking place in the beginning of the first movie? Because you're going on this roller coaster that you're going in and around the doors. So are you chasing after Sully and Mike as they're trying to save Boo? So maybe while you're in the land, is it the part before that? Are we being powered on screams, or are we being powered on laughs?
Well, but the doors are still used at the end of the Monsters, Inc. movie, even when
they are, but Mike, we don't know like the context of the ride.
And he's like, yeah, but like they would still use the doors to go to the human world and get laughter.
Yeah.
So like I could see where they could do it where it's post first movie and like it fits within the story, and it's like maybe Boo came back, or like they went and said hi to Boo and she got in the doors again and it's just chasing her through the doors to get her back home. And it could be like just a happy storyline for it. It's like it's not necessarily following the movie itself.
That's true. But,
so I think it could go a bunch of different ways and still fit like within the context of the film and within the like timeline of Monsters Inc. lore.
Yeah. You know? True. Who knew that there was such a thing? You know, we're really hyped up on the Marvel universe, but did you know about the Monsters Inc. timeline and universe? Who knew? Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to Muppet Courtyard, though, I guess, Ian, do you? We already know Clarence's opinion a little bit of how much he really enjoyed it. What are your feelings on the Muppets? Like, did you grow up a Muppet kid? Did you like the Muppets?
I don't know. We didn't really. I feel like we grew up watching like the Muppets movies. It's like what I really remember. Like mm-hmm. especially like Muppets Treasure Island. I don't know why, but that was like a kind of more of a. I don't know, not like one of our like classic family films, but just one that we watched a good amount. So I feel like I have a lot of like fond memories of that. Of course, experiencing Muppet Vision 3D. Yeah, I don't know. I really like the Muppets. I think they're very funny a lot of times. You know, I think that's like what makes the Muppets. They have this kind of really interesting humor style that's like sometimes very obvious, but also still like the characters sometimes are like breaking the fourth wall and other times are not breaking the fourth wall. And mm-hmm. I think that's what makes it like so funny sometimes is you don't really know what elements of the human experience the characters are just gonna like
roll how with, human or, are they gonna be
yeah or what they're gonna mm-hmm. point out and be like, wow, this is so different, kind of, you know. And it's just so, I don't know, I really like the Muppets. I feel like they fit in really well with like my style of humor. But yeah, no, I know you were mentioning before the call that there's kind of some like there were some different visions or different kind of thoughts of like what was going to go into Muppet Courtyard
there
or
was.
Muppets kind of themed area before. So I don't know, maybe share a little bit about that because I'd be interested to hear more.
Well, okay, so picture it at the time that this contract is coming about, right? So Michael Eisner, the current CEO of the Disney company, right, was really working on trying to get the Jim Henson hold, because there was the craziness of the Muppets. Muppets were huge at the time in the 80s and were still on the rise post 70s. So Michael Eisner's like, we need to get a hold of this. We should do a whole Muppet themed land, basically. And there were attraction ideas, there was restaurant ideas, so even more so than what we got from Muppet Vision 3D. So Muppet Vision 3D did come about. They started working on that. That's one of the last projects Jim Henson worked on before he sadly passed away, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
So some other things that were in the works is that where Mama Melrose is, and so first off, Clarence, Ian, have you been into Mama Melrose?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yes.
Okay.
Love it.
So it was this Italian family-style dinner. It had these giant air vents over top. It very like had all the tchotchkes on the wall, had all the memorabilia from the movies, all this other stuff. And they finally tied that kind of concept in. But in the original concepts, it was supposed to be all themed after the Muppets. And oh my goodness, what was it called originally? This actually did make it into the concept sketch, but I think it was something Rizzo related. It was something Italian.
Two Rizzo's. Rizzo restaurants?
Rizzo yeah. and his Italian food. I know,
right?
Legendary.
Well, this is kind of going off of Muppets Take Manhattan, right? Mm, so gotcha. Still like Rizzo being the waiter, like this makes sense. That was the drive of him.
It's
well,
my favorite Muppets movie.
Oh, honestly. It's so good. Peoples is Peoples.
Peoples is Peoples. That's what Peoples I was, like, what's Peoples. Exact. I was just going to say that. Peoples is Peoples.
This is how we're siblings, Clarence. That's how we know. Peoples is Peoples. But some of the great concepts that we saw in this is that there would be interactive screens, right? So there'd be a screen at your table where you could look, and every once in a while there'd be a blurb making you look into the kitchen backstage, and you could see Swedish Chef working on your dinner, or
Wonderful.
Seeing your dinner fly in the air or come to life, or maybe he threw a Muppet into your food. But that's what's being served to you. It's fine. And then Gonzo and Camilla, the chicken, would be crawling around in the air vents up top, and you would hear them as they moved. And at one point there would be like the little, they would have screens where the air vents were, and you could see them kind of looking down and around as they're like lost in the air vents. So some of those concepts were really cool. There was also ideas for a dark ride going around, and you would go into the movies with the Muppets. And so it was kind of like Muppet parodies on all these different movies as if they were recording them, but something is always going wrong.
That sounds like a missed opportunity.
It sounds,
right?
Sounds amazing.
It sounds like a Muppet version of the Great Movie Ride.
Literally, yes. Like, it actually was supposed to be that.
That wow. would be hysterical. That would be Dang, so what good. A missed yeah. opportunity.
And wow. I was actually really hesitant on, like, okay, what would a Muppet animatronic look like? And I'm like, what are you talking about? Animatronics are just puppets anyway. So, like it just makes sense. But there's actually some lost media that came out here semi-recently and actually has had a resurgence on TikTok and Instagram because somebody owns some of these Muppet animatronics that were at some of the malls, and they did a whole thing. It was Muppet Safe, what was it, Road Safety or yeah, Safety
traffic
School
safety.
Traffic Safety, and it was full of all these life-size Muppet animatronics, and some of them look really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is kind of the preview, or could this have possibly been the test to see if Muppet animatronics were doable to be able to bring them eventually into a theme park?
I suppose, because this was not this lost media. It wasn't Disney, right? It was, I think it was sponsored by like Chrysler, and was just kind of like a general like Muppets like tour show thing that just kind of went around. Like, it wasn't a set location. It wasn't part of a theme park or anything like that.
But the animatronics themselves would have been made by the Henson Company.
Okay, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Clarence and I were talking about this actually before the show, because I was, you know, I don't know if this is, you know, too much to go into, but I was just like, you know, what really makes a Muppet a Muppet? Because I would have said before, like, kind of thinking about it more, like, well, a Muppet is like a puppet controlled by a human in, you know, as a character in a movie. But if it's an animatronic Muppet, is it still the Muppet then, or is it just an animatronic at that point? You know what I mean?
Well, like, what about Waldo? Know. The spirit of 3D is technically a Muppet.
Yeah, great point. I don't know.
Wow.
And he was controlled using a electronic puppeteering technique.
Yeah. See, this is great.
Wait, but that would still involve a person, wouldn't it?
It does.
Okay.
So Waldo was voiced by the same, oh my gosh, I'm blanking on his name, but by the same voice actor and puppeteer that did Rizzo and Kermit there for a little while after Jim Henson passing. And so Waldo's voiced by him, and it is a mouthpiece very similar to Kermit's that is controlling the mouth and the movement in and out this way. And it was off screen. And he's using this robotic arm to be able to control this Muppet as he's also doing the voice. So it does still have a very human factor to it.
Interesting. I think then it still holds up with what Ian is saying of, like, there even though it's digital, there's still a human element to it. Like, there is a person controlling that.
That's just my, like, philosophical question for the day is, like, what makes a Muppet, you know?
Are you asking, are you a man or a Muppet?
Yeah, what are you? So, I don't know. Yeah, just my random thoughts on seeing the animatronics. I was like, wow, are these just animatronics, or are they Muppets, you know?
Right.
I don't know. But anyways, Muppets, animatronics aside, what makes a Muppet? Clarence, we know that there is a special Muppet in your heart that owned a pizza restaurant for a short time in Muppet Courtyard. Why do you love Pizza Rizzo so much? Let's get to the real meat and potatoes of this episode.
I'm under the impression that you've never actually been to Pizza Rizzo's.
Where is the love?
That's slander. Slanderous. Slander. Libel. I'm going to sue.
Okay.
You can't prove
yourself,
that I've never had Pizza Rizzo. You can't prove it.
You want can't the handle truth. The truth.
You can't handle the truth.
You can't handle the truth. Listen, I, as part of my bit of always ragging on Disneyland and making fun of Disneyland and how I think Disney World is so much better, one of my running jokes while we were out there was that even the best restaurant in Disneyland is not better than Pizza Rizzo. And so...
Oh no!
I don't know, Danielle, if you want to comment on this, but I'll just say, for those that have not been to Pizza Rizzo, it's no pizza at Epcot. You know, we don't have authentic imported ingredient type.
Do you want me to tell y'all something about my last visit to Pizza Rizzo that I have not shared on the internet?
Yeah, share it, please. I want to know.
So I filmed a YouTube video, and if y'all did not know, it's here on the YouTube channel. It's going to be just look up Last Days of Muppet Courtyard. I do a full tour, full history thing if you want more details, some more great little fun facts. But I also go and I eat my rat pizza one more time, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm over there enjoying my rat pizza. And 12 hours? Almost 12 hours on the dot to when I had my meal at Pizza Rizzo's, food poisoning.
Oh, God.
I was incapacitated for 48 hours, and it hit exactly 12 hours after eating my meal, and I think it was the cannoli. I was like, oh, let me splurge. I'll get the cannoli. I think the cannoli was sitting out for
too long. Did you eat anything else after that, or is that the last thing you ate that day?
That is the last thing I ate that day, except for I think I came home and maybe had – no, I just had water and maybe a thing of – yeah, I had the little teriyaki it's teriyaki beef jerky. I have that on the regular for a protein snack.
That was it. That, it couldn't be Pizza Rizzo. It was the teriyaki
beef jerky. I don't think it was the pizza itself. I think it was the cannoli.
It was probably the water you drank, actually, that got you.
Florida swamp water is the reason why I have such amazing immunities. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, because Pizza Rizzo, anything at Pizza Rizzo is like, it would never harm you. Like
it would harm me. It's not made by rats.
I can't imagine.
It's that not it would DiGiorno ever... mini pizzas at all.
No, it is imported from Italy. The water is straight from Venice. Mm. Like,
yeah, from the canals, actually.
Yeah, it's from the canals of Venice.
Filtered and delivered in a sparkling chilled glass before being poured into the dough.
Exactly. And then, like, the dough is straight from Italy. It's got a little bit of Italian dirt, maybe some ashes from Pompeii, like, in it. And, you know, and it's they just kind of mix it all up.
The authentic experience.
You know, Rizzo is back there, like, doing his thing, dancing on the pizza dough to like get it flat for the pizza.
Oh, so we have rat hairs in there too. That's great.
I don't understand the deal. Everybody, I mean, not to rag on you, Danielle, but it's like, I mean, we get all mad at Rizzo when he's cooking Italian, but then when he switches over to his other lesser known character of Remy and starts cooking in France, you're like, oh, he's such a good chef. There's no problem with him at all being a rat.
He's not touching. Oh, no, he is touching the food by the end of the video.
That rat is touching the food both ways. Yeah, that's true. But that's true.
So really, are you saying that Rizzo paved the way for Remy?
Rizzo, Pizza Rizzo crawled so that Remy could run.
Yes. Yeah.
Full circle moment.
Oh, Rizzo is the reason that rats have rights. I mean,
literally, yes. Literally, yes. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
well,
I don't really have a lot of memories of Pizza Rizzo. I feel like it's like one of those restaurants where we always are like there, and it's like we could get quick pizza at Pizza Rizzo's, and then it's like, yeah, there's got to be something else better around here, kind of.
There has to be something else better.
I don't have a lot of – I won't miss Pizza Rizzo's. I will maybe miss Clarence's hot takes on Pizza Rizzo, but I don't feel like those are necessarily going anywhere with the passing of Muppet Courtyard. So,
well, and I don't think people realize that Pizza Rizzo actually has not been open for that long. It switched over in like 2016, 2017 when it opened. And originally it was Pizza Planet, and mm-hmm. it was Pizza Planet for a good couple of years. And it was so a little more timeline and context. Pizza Planet opened up in the streets of America in December of 1995, the same year that Toy Story opened. Right. Mm. And this was actually one of the quickest IP movies to the park that we had seen, like, ever.
That's interesting.
I mean,
wow, I didn't know.
Isn't that weird to think about?
So does this mean that Toy Story is canon in the Muppets world and Muppets is canon in Toy Story world?
Neither.
Oh.
So because the Muppets had their own little thing in Streets of America. Okay. They had that soundstage, they had their gift shop and their section of the street, and then the rest of it where Mama Melrose, the Christmas shop, and actually it was an arcade, and before that it was actually a behind the scenes prop warehouse. When the park first opened, and then randomly it became an arcade. And as okay, random tangent in the middle of all this, I think it became a non-themed arcade because of our contract with the building of the All-Star Resorts, and how all of them have this would have been around the exact same time. they all have arcade redemption arcades inside of them. And I think it was a contract if you had to buy X amount of machines through the people. And they're like, where are we going to put this? Let's just throw it in Hollywood Studios. We have this random space. So literally, it was just thrown in there. And it lived as such for a couple, like maybe about 2 years before the Pizza Planet theme came in and took over in 95. And they kept most of the arcades. It was half arcade and then it was half pizza shop.
Very interesting.
Right?
Very, very Chuck E. Cheese of them.
Very Chuck E. Cheese of them. They were on that whole train of thought. But one of my favorite details in the Pizza Rizzo concept was the 80s Italian banquet hall ballroom with the mauve curtains, the wallpaper that was upside down. I actually did a whole TikTok on that. You can view that elsewhere. And yeah, good memories. Just sitting up there in the best AC eating rat pizza.
Will forever be missed.
Yeah,
rest in power.
Exactly.
Yes.
Oh, I think part of my love of it, honestly, is just that I thought it looked cool.
Oh yeah.
I think the neon outside was just great. It looked fun, and I liked what it did for the environment.
Well, and then it even
aesthetically.
You probably know this, Clarence, that the neon would actually glitch.
Yes.
And it would say it's rat pizza.
Yes. Wonderful.
So good. So good. And now, do you guys, Ian, Clarence, as we are reflecting on our time over at Muppet Courtyard, and see, we're really just talking about this now, even though it's been a couple of months. We're just talking about this to process our emotions, our feelings, to be able to make way for the new attractions that are coming. Do you have a memory or maybe a favorite gag that was in Muppet's Courtyard?
I love the, I love it when Fozzie Bear comes out and they're just ragging on him hardcore. That just kills me every time when it's like, I love the line when it's like, what kind of an act is that? An act of mercy.
what are you guys doing here? We entered a contest. Yeah, we lost.
So good. Such a great line. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like favorite memory, I don't know. I think I've really, since having a baby, I have a newfound appreciation for attractions that I can take my baby into that are not too overstimulating or just kind of things where we can chill in the AC for a while. So I think that was kind of like going the last time I went, the final time I went, was kind of like maybe one of my favorite memories of like, yeah, wow, I'm like getting to take my kid to this. Like we're getting to just sit here, enjoy it together. And yeah, I don't know. I feel like you can just really easily get into the mode at Disney of like just go, go, go. You're trying to hit all the biggest ones, you know, and the biggest attractions. And there's something to be said for just like sitting down for a while and being just really entertained, you know, by something that is very exciting to a young kid, but then also very entertaining for an adult as well, too. So I feel like probably my favorite memory I have, or like most notable one, is the last time I went to it right before it closed when we were down there in Florida more recently. Yeah. So, yeah.
I loved when you would go in, and this is even before the closure, like I would go in and it was still a pretty small crowd in there, but I would go in and watch, and then there would be people that had never seen the show before, and you could tell because these were all fresh jokes. And then you would have this one guy six rows back busting a gut because he thought that was the funniest thing ever. And I'm like, this is dad humor coded for you, sir. Yeah. And he was living his best life.
Totally.
Yeah. My favorite line from the film, I mean, of course, is it's a salute to all nations, but mostly America. It's a glorious 3-hour finale. You got a minute and a half.
Like, so good.
Like those, both of them being Sam Eagle. I love those. I don't know that I have any particular like memories that come to mind at Muppet Courtyard other than just appreciating the aesthetic of it and liking the Muppets, liking the show. I'm going to be really disappointed if Statler and Waldorf are not, because Rock and Roller Coaster is going to become Dr. Teeth, right?
As of right now, yes. Mayhem,
as far as I know. I'm going to be really disappointed in if Statler and Waldorf are not above you before you launch, making fun of you. Like,
that's like, literally my one ask.
I need them up there just like ragging on you before you get launched off. on this roller coaster. Like, that's what I want.
So. I mean, there's so many opportunities, and yeah, they need to keep in something like a, I don't know, something. I don't know. I even had this vision of when you go into, you launch into it and you're like circling around, because most of the track is going to stay the same. It's actually going to just be an overlay of theming, the mm-hmm. song change. And if you're not hearing the, at the launch point, if you are not hearing Picture That, and it goes into the, oh yeah, everybody's grinning, everybody's winning, you're fired. Everybody's fired. I don't care. Burn it to the ground. If that's not there. But at one point, like as you're in the limo and you're going around and you are hitting stuff, I just picture like a flying penguin. Like you ran into the orchestra, and then they're just like falling midair. That's what I picture in my mind. I think that'd be really cool. I just like the orchestra penguins. Yeah. But I don't know. For me personally, I have too many good memories. I tried to highlight as many of my favorite like nods, homages in the video, and there's too many to count. I mean, that video itself was almost 30 plus minutes long of me just talking about fun things. And I think one of my favorites is the going, having seen it so much and just kind of going and walking around and looking at all the little details was my favorite thing. And I could just appreciate it and take my time. And I loved going by myself so that way I could hear, again, the audience's reactions. I could watch a kid that had just been introduced to the Muppets because either grandma, grandpa, mom or dad grew up with the Muppets also. And they're just like, oh, this is like a generational thing. It's like, we love this thing. Let's introduce them to you. And sometimes Muppet Vision would be their introduction to these characters. And it would be funny to hear them talk as they're leaving of, oh, I really liked that funny guy with the long nose. Oh, you mean Gonzo? Yeah, Gonzo is my favorite. Like, I loved those conversations, listening to those. I think that's probably what I'll miss the most, because we grew up as Muppet kids, and my love comes from, of course, Dapper Dad, and how he grew up with the original Muppet Show in the 70s, and he passed on that love to me, and I think that's why I appreciate them so much.
The way you worded that was like our dad died.
No, he's not dead. Dapper Dad is still with us.
you paused and was like, he passed on his love of the Muppets to us. Like, I was like, okay, Danielle, yeah. Are you breaking it to me that dad is dead?
No, he's literally down the street from you. Ian probably saw him this morning. He can confirm dad is fine.
Wow, yeah.
I didn't see him this morning. So.
Oh, I'm sure we have heard it from our mother. Oh, gosh. Anyway, wow. No. Mm-hmm. So to recap, dad is fine. Yeah. Pizza Rizzo's is dead. And yes. and we're excited to see the changes are coming to Hollywood Studios. And I don't know. So again, we kind of alluded to this in the beginning of originally when they announced that Animation Courtyard was not going to close. And everybody's like, well, why didn't you just move Monsters, Inc. over there? Now that we know what's coming to Animation Courtyard, I feel a little bit better about it. I'm like, okay, this is fine. This is cool. And I am hopeful that they do Monstropolis correctly, like bring in the same level of detail that we see over in Zootopia in the Asian parks.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting.
All right. Any other thoughts, any other feelings you would like to wrap up before we go ahead and close out this show? Nope. I'm sorry. Nothing I brought us all down with the mood and talking about Muppets pass. Being gone.
Exactly. Rest away.
Anyway, again, thank you all so much for watching this far into the end of the show. We really, really appreciate it. If you are not following us already, I am the Dapper Danielle over on the Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. And you can find this show over there. Also, make sure you also go and check out our Patreon, where we are going to be uploading a couple of extra bonus episodes. Our very first episode that we recorded that went really long. And we were still testing out how we're going to format this show. That is available for you only to see over on the Patreon. So go and check that out too. Mm-hmm. Also, make sure if you are a cast member or a previous cast member and you have a story to share with us, make sure you're sending that over to thedapperdanielle@gmail.com. I'd love to go through and read those and share those with Clarence and Ian. And then still to come, I have alluded to it, but we are working on the Andersons Bookshop in Chicago, and we are looking at September 20th. We're still finalizing that information, so more to come probably in the next episode. And more to come. So until next time, night-night, sleep tight, dream of churros tonight.